Think about it. Which will it be? All right, ready for the answer? It's a trick question. Jedi do not act hypothetically. They act in real life. Next time you see A, B, or C going down, do something about it. For real. That is the way of the Jedi. Chapter 14. You sit cross-legged before Yoda's little house. Your eyes are closed. You are listening. You are feeling. Yoda is near you. You can faintly perceive the heat that emanates from him. Yoda is holding up an object. This is like an exercise you did with Ben once, back when he was your teacher, back when he was alive.
A stick?
Yoda grunts angrily.
A rock?
Guessing you are. Guess not. Feel.
You try to still your mind. Quietly, oh so quietly, you hear something moving. Small, quick movements. Not going somewhere movements. More like squirming. There is heat coming from Yoda. But there is more heat. Just a little more heat coming from his hand. It's alive, you murmur. Yoda says. You get excited.
A frog!
No!
Yoda barks. You open your eyes. It's a mouse.
No!
Yoda says again, shaking his frog-like head.
Guess you do. Impatient you are. Trust the Force you do not.
He looks away from you.
800 years have I trained Jedi. The deepest commitment must a Jedi have. The most serious mind.
He grunts and puts down the mouse. It scurries away into the thick, wet greenery of Dagobah.
You, a long time have I watched,
he says.
Always looking away you are, off to the horizon. Adventure. Excitement. Never your mind on where you are.
Yoda punctuates those words by gesturing with his walking stick at your chest.
A Jedi looks not to other times, other places. To now a Jedi looks and feels.
You nod. You are trying to understand. Trying, but not succeeding.
Again, your eyes you must close.
You do.
What is around you? Every tree, rock, thing, living and not living, must you list.
You squint and try to remember your exact surroundings. Suddenly, Yoda's stick whacks you in the side of the head.
Remember not,
Yoda commands, as if he is reading your thoughts.
Feel.
You are sprinting through the jungle, leaping over stones and running along wet logs, trying to sense the slick spots, the rotten spots, before you step on them. Yoda is clinging to your neck. He is small, but his judgment of you, his disappointment, hangs heavier than his little body.
Focus,
he says. You leap up onto a log that has fallen over a stream. As your foot lands on it, you relax. Inhale. You hear the hollow sound it makes. Feel its weight beneath you, its density. You take 2 long strides, and then a short one. You hop over a pale spot and slide your feet the rest of the way, till you jump down on the farther bank and keep running.
Good,
Yoda intones.
Felt the wood you did. Knew what was good, what rotten.
There is a steep slope that leads down into a wet ravine. A bunch of vines hang from a nearby tree. You go to grab one and hesitate.
Feel,
Yoda whispers. You close your eyes and feel without touching. There is a strong vine among the bunch. A good hardy one, ready and happy to bear your weight and Yoda's. You open your eyes. It is obvious.
It looks no different from the others.
But it is different. You know it. You take it, swing out over the ravine, and drop lightly to the other side.
Good, good.
You run and run and run. Your legs tire, but the force is good. And as you relax into it, your legs keep moving, as if this is what they were meant to do. Indeed, you think it is. Your arms and shoulders ache from swinging and climbing and carrying Yoda. But you breathe deeply and then smile. This is what they were meant to do too. It is their function. The soreness is just telling you that they are working to their potential. It is not bad pain. It is merely the language of your body speaking. And you are, at last, listening. You have stopped. Yoda stands, like a wizened, withered stump, staring into the distance. You sit cross-legged, feeling your breath come in through your nose, down your throat, into your chest, and out again.
The Jedi's strength flows from the Force, Yoda is saying. But beware of the dark side. Anger, fear, aggression. The dark side of the Force are they. Easily they flow, quick to join you in a fight. But if once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Consume you it will, as it did Obi-Wan's apprentice.
You lose track of your breathing. Vader? You ask. Yoda nods. You have another question. Yoda, is the dark side stronger?
No. No. Quicker, yes. Easier, yes. More seductive. Like a big cake of swamp cane. Eat it all you want to, and sweet will it taste. Full will you feel, and energetic. But fade the energy will, and sick you soon will be. Better to eat fruit, fish, good things. Not as sweet, but long will they last.
You furrow your brow. I know a cake when I see one. But what about the dark side? How do you tell the difference between the dark side and the Force?
Search your feelings, and know you will. Like the wood on the tree trunk. When you are calm, at peace, not angry, not grasping, you will know.
But tell me why. Suddenly Yoda is impatient.
No, no, there is no why. There only is and is not. No more will I teach you today.
You don't know what you said that was so wrong. Disappointed, still hungry for knowledge, you stand. Stretch. And then you see it. Looming dark and sinister through the tangled branches of the jungle. It is a cave. Even from this distance, 100 meters or more, you can feel it. Like a sudden gust of freezing wind. What is that place? You ask. I feel cold. Death. Yoda looks up at you, and his eyes are shining.
That place. Strong with the dark side it is. The domain of evil. In you must go.
What? What's in there? You can't take your eyes from its darkness. Like a negative space, a void among the vibrant, vivid greenery of the rest of the planet. Yoda's voice is quiet, but clear.
Only what you take with you.
You pick up your lightsaber.
Your weapons,
Yoda says.
You will not need them.
You pause. Look at Yoda. You look at the cave. You keep the lightsaber in your hand. The darkness is thick and smells musty and rotten, but not rich,
Not full of life, breaking down and transforming into something new, like most of the rotting smells of Dagobah. This is a smell like death. Something moves behind you. You turn. A black snake, long and thick, curls around a root that protrudes from the earthen walls. It is speckled with white spots. Each one looks like a death's head. You shudder. You push deeper into the cave. Creepers hang in your path. The air is cold here. A rush of wind blows something sticky into your face. You claw it off. It's a spider web, teeming with tiny arachnids. You try not to panic, flicking them from your skin, your ears, your hair. Your heart is beating hard. Your breath is shallow. You are afraid and angry. Angry at Yoda for sending you in here, for giving you all of these stupid tests and never being satisfied, for not recognizing how well you've done, how far you've come. Also, you realize, you are angry at yourself. Angry that you are so afraid. And then you hear something breathing in the darkness. It sounds metallic. You step forward, again, once more, and then he emerges from the shadows. Darth Vader! Darth Vader is here! He has found you, followed you here, somehow. You grab your lightsaber and ignite the blue blade. His lightsaber rises too, a pulsating red, reflecting in his black helm and black synthetic eyes. The blades are, in the darkness, strangely complementary, as if somehow they belong together. Vader advances. Fear and hatred mingle in your heart. He raises his lightsaber. You raise yours sideways, and as his crashes down upon you, you catch it with your own, and your strength holds. You step back. He advances, swinging his blade. You parry, sidestep. He turns to you, lightsaber coming around fast, but too late. With a vicious strike, your lightsaber blade is already slicing through Darth Vader's neck. His head rolls to the cave wall. His body crumples. You stand astride it, heaving, victorious. He is dead. Dead at last! You turn your gaze on his head. His mask breaks asunder in a sudden explosion, revealing his lifeless face. But it is not his face. It is your face, staring back at you. Eyes wide, mouth open. Your face in Vader's helmet. You turn and run.
Lesson new. Patience plus compassion equals strength. Think of someone you do not like. Someone you know who's been mean to you in the past, or whom you're afraid of, or whom maybe you're not always very nice to. Think of everything you know about that person. Think of his parents, his family, his house, his schoolwork, his friends. Think of what he is good at. What he is bad at. Now, pretend you are him or her. Close your eyes and walk through the day in her shoes. You should imagine yourself with her joys and with her pains. Can you name those pains? You should try. Really, try. Understand that person as thoroughly as you can. This will give you patience and compassion the next time you encounter them, which is good. Patience and compassion combined make strength.
Chapter 15.
In the dark heart of the Empire's largest Star Destroyer, there is a dark room. In that dark room is a large, dark egg. It is a meditation chamber.
in that large dark egg is possibly the darkest soul in the galaxy.
Lord Vader,
Admiral Piet murmurs. He has hurried from the bridge, from where the destroyer is navigating a particularly nasty asteroid field. His hands are shaking, for lots of reasons. Slowly, the dark egg cracks open. Vader is sitting with his back to the Admiral. His helmet is off. Piet averts his eyes. Even the back of Vader's head is difficult to look at. Flower-white skin, scars and burns crisscrossing the surface. The helmet is lowered. The skin is sheathed in the shining alloy of Vader's black helm. He turns.
What is it?
Vader's voice inspires uncontrollable shivers of fear, no matter how many times one hears it. The Admiral, though, has a message even more terrifying. He swallows hard before saying,
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
Vader's reaction is swift.
Move the ship out of the asteroid field so that we have clear transmission.
Yes, my lord.
The Admiral scurries away. Vader steps from his meditation cell and strides to a small platform, the transmitter deck. He steps onto it. He kneels. He bows his head. The sight of Vader bowing should strike fear in any heart, for it means there is one more powerful, more evil than he. And that one is come. A projection fills the room. From floor to ceiling, it depicts a figure in a black cloak, hooded like a Jedi's. Under the hood, barely visible, is a hideous face. Wrinkles deep and regular as a castle's moat run in concentric lines from temple to chin and under the sunken eyes. Those eyes are a rich yellow, with piercing black pupils. Vader sees none of this. His head is still bowed.
What is thy bidding, master?
The Emperor's voice is deep, like Vader's, but it is raspy, too. More of a croak than a voice.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Vader nods, not raising his head.
I have felt it.
The Emperor inhales, as if drawing breath through a reed in a swamp.
We have a new enemy. Luke Skywalker.
Vader's head does not move, but a new tension grips his hunched shoulders, his bent neck.
Yes, my master.
He could destroy us.
For a moment, Vader does not speak. When he does, his rich voice is slow and deliberate.
He is just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
Vader raises his head to his master. A new idea occurring to him, it seems.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Pause. The Emperor's gaze considers his most promising pupil, penetrating that dark helm. That black mask, through his apprentice's burnt and scarred skin, and down into his dark heart. There in the center of evil, the Emperor detects something. He cannot tell what it is.
Yes,
he croaks at last.
Yes, he would be a great asset.
And then,
can it be done?
Darth Vader bows his head again.
He will join us or die, my master.
Chapter 16. You are standing on your hands. Yoda is balancing on your feet. The blood has rushed to your face. Rivers of sweat are running down your arms and your neck. and tastes salty in your mouth. The air is thick and wet around you.
Relax, you must,
Yoda murmurs.
Use the Force. Think you must not. Strain you must not. Breathe. Rooted you must be, like a tree.
There are two stones before you, each about the size of a grapefruit.
Now, the stone. Feel it.
You focus on the smaller of the two stones. Slowly, it begins to rise. Untouched by anything but your thoughts and the Force. You lift it, move it, until it rests on top of the other stone. You've returned to the fen where the X-Wing crashed. It has been sinking deeper and deeper into the muck each day. Your supplies are still stacked in messy piles on the bank. As you hold yourself upside down and focus on keeping one stone balanced on the other, R2-D2 starts beeping frantically.
Focus,
Yoda purrs. Still concentrating on the stones, you glance over at R2-D2. He's standing by the X-Wing. The ship is sliding rapidly into the swamp. At this rate, it will be gone within minutes.
Concentrate!
Yoda cries. Too late. You go toppling over, throwing the little Jedi to the ground. The stones fall. You jump to your feet and run to the edge of the swamp. You stare. Only a tip of a wing of the fighter is still visible. R2 continues beeping frantically. We'll never get it out now! Yoda appears beside you, dusting himself off from his fall.
So certain are you. Always with you, it cannot be done. Hear you nothing, I say. Understand you nothing?
You shake your head, staring at your only means of getting off this fetid, stinking swamp planet as it disappears into the muck. Yoda gestures at the ship. You know what that gesture means. You look between him and the X-Wing. You shake your head. Master, moving stones is one thing. This is totally different.
No, not different. Difference is in your mind only. You must unlearn what you have learned.
You shake your head. Okay, I'll try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
You take a deep breath. Focus on the ship. You reach out your hand and grip the ship with your mind. It is enormous. You wrap your mind around every corner. Press your thoughts into every edge. Your mind probes the swamp around the ship. You begin to lift. It rises and rises. You feel its weight, its enormity. It is 10 of you, 20, 50. You strain against it. Don't disappoint Yoda, you think. Your concentration is beginning to waver. You are straining. Oh, the ship starts to sink. Don't disappoint him. Ugh. It sinks entirely. I can't, you say, bowing your head. You are exhausted. It's too big. Yoda peers up at you.
Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you?
You shake your head.
Be not the older sons. Judge me not as a toad, nor a cat, nor a king, nor a man. I am both. I am all.
Suddenly, Yoda pinches you.
Ow! This flesh deceives you. Yes, today you look like a man. And the ship looks like a ship. But you are not, and it is not. Shapes of the Force you are. One and the same. Reach out with your feelings, you must. Part of all things you are. particles we are. Waves. All one.
He holds you in his gaze.
The candle's light, you see. The candle I hide with my hand. The candle I reveal. Different light? No. One light, separated by my hand.
He turns to the swamp.
So with you and the ship. One you are, just separated.
Your shoulders go limp. You are so confused, so tired. I don't know, you say. I think you're describing the impossible. Yoda shakes his head. He closes his eyes and reaches out a small, withered hand. Birds are singing in the ancient trees. The forest is thick and still. Calmly, with a face relaxed and at peace, little Yoda raises his hand. The X-Wing begins to rise. Rise! Rise up out of the swamp! 10 metric tons of steel and circuits hover over the surface of the water, and then travel slowly, steadily to the shore. Yoda, all 13 kilograms of him, lowers his hand, and the fighter comes to rest on the mossy, root-strewn bank. You stammer. I don't believe it. Yoda nods.
That is why you fail.
Lesson Zai. Do not stand on your hands and lift rocks. Don't worry, young one. I don't expect you to stand on your hands and move stones around, or to lift a spaceship with your mind. I mean, that'd be cool. If you can do it, go for it. But I don't expect you to. Instead, try this first. Meditate for 10 seconds. Then, stand on 1 foot, or put a book on your head. Count to 10. Okay? Now, while still balancing, say your telephone number backward. Can you do that? If so, keep balancing, but now spell your first name backward. Now, if you're somewhere you can, stand on 1 foot and balance a book on your head, and then spell your full name backward. Try not to get frustrated. Breathe. Use instant meditation to stay calm. If this is hard, that's okay. Just keep doing it. Not trying to do it, mind you. Just do it again and again and again until it isn't so hard. Until you can balance on 1 foot and keep a book on your head and spell your full name backward with a smile. And then you might be ready to move rocks and spaceships with your mind. Maybe. Chapter 17. Your eyes are closed. The breath whistles in and out of you, like water running through a thin pipe. The corners of your mouth edge up. It is pleasant to be at peace. The sounds and smells of Dagobah are exploding. A bird with a raspy, echoing caw announces that the tree 20 paces forward and 40 paces to your left is his tree. And don't you forget it. You can't see the bird or the tree, of course, because your eyes are closed. But you can hear him and sense him. And you try to tell him, fine, it's your tree. Enjoy. It rained last night, and the smell of the ground is rich with all the plants and worms and millipedes that love it when the earth is soggy. They are churning the loam over and over in their little underground farms. You can sense each one.
Good,
Yoda says.
Good. Feel. Sense. Smell. Hear. Your eyes closed, you must keep. Test you now, I will. Calm, you must stay. Still, you must be. Holding something I am. Sense it, and tell me.
You breathe out through your nose, pouring out your silvery fluid breath. You draw it in again. His hand is outstretched. Something sits on his hand. You can hear its rapid heartbeat. So it is alive and small. Last time it was a mouse, so maybe this time... No, don't think it through. Just sense it. The creature is lying flat. Its belly...
Luke!
Yoda rasps. You smile. He's trying to distract you.
Open your eyes, you must!
You shake your head and retain your focus on Yoda's outstretched hand. Where is his outstretched hand? Has he moved it? Your smile fades. You are concentrating.
Luke!
You are jerked back and forth. Yoda has grabbed your shirt. He is shaking you. You laugh quietly. Oh, no, Master. You told me to keep my eyes closed. Nice try, though. You're holding a small animal in your hand. I'm going to sense what it is.
Sense what is coming out of the jungle, you should.
Your smile disappears again, but still your eyes are closed. You throw your attention to the woods. A distant boom, accompanied by the sounds of branches snapping and brush being crushed again and again.
Keep your eyes closed if you like,
Yoda croaks.
Running I am.
Your eyelids pop open. Your mouth falls agape. Coming through the trees directly for you is an enormous elephoth. Its hide is green and thick as armor. Its two thick tusks jut straight out from its mouth, like the blasters on a snowwalker. They are greenish and covered with moss and vines, like fallen trees. It has two trunks protruding from its face, and they writhe like angry snakes. The elephoth stands as tall as a small tree, and weighs probably as much as your X-wing. Its legs are thick and round as hornbeam trunks. Its small red eyes gaze around madly. You look over your shoulder. Yoda is hopping over fallen tree trunks and waddling away from you as fast as he can. He is making pretty good time. You look back at the elephoth, and then you remember R2. He's doing some maintenance on his memory core. You spin around. Lights are flashing on his body, but his audio and visual processors must be temporarily offline, because he hasn't started screaming and cursing at you yet. If he had seen the elephoth, he would have invented new curse words by now. You spin back toward the rampaging beast. It tramples the earth and is twice as close to you as it was before. Could you outrun it? Maybe, but not if you had to carry R2 with you. So you reach for your lightsaber. You ignite it. The blue light catches the elephoth's small red eyes. It rears back, like a tree uprooting itself, and blasts a double cry, one from each trunk, in wrenching harmony. The jungle echoes. You breathe. You straighten your spine. You smile. You hear, you feel, you sense. You raise your pulsating blade. And then you hear another blast, also in the distinctive harmony of elephoth trunks. But this one is shriller and far away. The cry enrages the elephoth before you. It rears up again and then comes crashing down. R2 is woken up. Great. You try to focus on the elephoth again, and not the unrepeatable things R2 is emitting from his speakers. The elephoth is coming for you. You grip your lightsaber. It is 10 meters away. 8, 6, 4, almost close enough for your blade. 2 meters away. You bolt to the right, waving your lightsaber above your head. The enraged elephoth follows. You bound over a fallen tree trunk, plant your foot on a flat stone, leap across a mucky patch of thick moss, and begin to run. Still, you wave your lightsaber above your head. You don't have to look back. You can feel the elephoth following you. And hear it. It's pretty loud. Ahead,
there is a tangle of brambles. You slash it with your blade and run directly through it. The Elephoth roars its two tones. Somewhere ahead of you, the roar is answered. The crash of the great beast's footsteps are falling ever so slightly behind. 4 meters, 6 meters, 8. You slow your pace. 8 meters, 6. Okay, that's close enough. A ravine is ahead of you. You can see it. Thick with ferns and vines, and half-rotted trees still standing somehow. You dance across a fallen log, sensing the good wood without having to hesitate even for a moment. As soon as you jump off it, the Elephoth steps on it, sending it splintering into the air. You jerk your head to the left as a chunk of sharp wood hurtles past your ear. From behind, you felt it before it happened. You try not to smile. You arrive at the edge of the ravine. Vines hang like a quiver of arrows. One of them is good and strong and ready to bear your weight. You ignore it. You turn off your lightsaber, sheathe it, and then slide down the side of the ravine. The Elephoth slows. It doesn't like steep slopes. You had not reckoned on that. You break your fall with your feet, slowing the slide down the slope. You reach for your lightsaber. You ignite your blade and wave it above your head. The response is the frantic two-tone call of an Elephoth coming from the bottom of the ravine. Above you, the call is answered. And then there is thunder. The great beast with the tree trunk tusks is charging down the slope behind you. 12 meters, 6, 2. You plant your feet and hurl yourself away from the ravine wall, hurtling across the space of the ravine, arms flailing, legs kicking, hair flying, before you crash into the opposite wall, a good 10 meters away. You did not know you could jump 10 meters. As it turns out, you can. Your cheek hits the twiggy, root-woven earth. It explodes around you. You grip the soil and turn around. The Elephoth has stumbled to the bottom of the ravine. Its great tusks are covered with half the forest that you ran through to escape it. But it is calmed, for beside it is a much smaller Elephoth. That smaller Elephoth is rubbing its great domed head against his mother's flank, and she is exploring his face with her two huge trunks. You smile, pull yourself to your feet, and climb up the side of the ravine. At the top of the slope, Yoda is sitting on a stump. He is watching the two Elephoths. You look at him expectantly. He says,
"Next time I tell you to open your eyes, listen, you might."
Then he crawls down from the stump and hobbles off toward home. He is laughing quietly. Lesson Omicron. Keeping track of everything isn't easy. You're going to need an assistant for this one. I want you to stand on one foot or to balance a book on your head. Breathe. Meditate for 10 seconds. Now, while you're balancing, your assistant is going to read the following riddle to you. You should not read the riddle before this begins. The whole point is for you to focus, relax, and think clearly, all while standing on one foot or balancing a book on your head. Okay, get in position. Meditate. Hello, assistant. This is the riddle. Read it aloud. A city bus is on its route. At its first stop, it picks up 10 passengers. At its second stop, the big white bus winds to a stop, opens its doors, lets off 2 passengers, and picks up 4 more. At the third stop, its brakes screech. It lets off 2 more passengers and picks up 6. At its fourth stop, it hisses as it comes to rest. The doors jerk open. No one gets off, and 4 people get on. At its fifth stop, with the sun glinting off its windshield, 5 people get on, and 6 people get off. Okay, got all that? What color was the bus? Don't know? You should keep balancing. Your assistant should read the riddle again. Did it? Okay. This time the question is, how many people got off the bus at the fourth stop? Don't know? Last chance. Read it one more time. Now, how many people are on the bus after the fifth stop? I know this test seems cruel. So many things to keep track of. But when you're being chased by a raging Elephoth, or worse, fighting a Sith Lord, you've got to keep track of many things at once. And stay peaceful, sensitive, and patient through it all. I warned you, being a Jedi ain't easy. Chapter 18.
Good. Good.
Yoda whispers.
The Force, you should feel, flowing in you and out of you, like breath. Calm, yes. Through the Force, things you will see. Other places. The future. The past. Old friends long gone.
Your legs are crossed. Your eyes closed. You are outside his small house. The air is hot and wet. You are breathing. Listening to Yoda and breathing.
But beware these visions you must. Control the future you cannot. It shifts. We can try to change it. But we are small, and sometimes we push one way, and the future another way it goes.
The jungle feels silent. It doesn't sound silent. It feels silent.
Never understood this, did Vader?
Your eyes fly open.
Calm,
says Yoda.
Breathe, you must, and listen.
You close your eyes again.
Vader saw the future, but tried to control it, he did. Anger, he felt, and fear led him to the dark side. Quick way, easy way, but not good way.
Yoda chuckles. You don't know why. You open your eyes and glance at his gnarled, withered body. His smile is as serene as the double sunset of Tatooine.
Story heard I once,
he says.
From my master. True or not, I do not know. But good story. Listen, you will.
Yoda closes his eyes, inhales slowly, and begins.
There was once a Jedi named Kung Fu. Wise was Kung Fu, and strong. But at this time, none was wiser or stronger than the great Jedi, Master Chuang. One day, heard did Kung Fu that Master Chuang's apprentice had died. So Master Kung Fu sent a messenger to Chuang, his condolences to give. But when arrived, the messenger did, found he the great Jedi laughing with his friends he was, playing music, singing, joking. There, the body of Chuang's apprentice lay. And laugh, Chuang did. Upset the messenger was. Is this, he asked, how behaves a great Jedi when his apprentice dies? To the messenger, the great Jedi replied, beat my head, should I? Tear my clothes, should I? Weep and wail in the street, should I? Moved, the Force has. It was in the form of my apprentice. Now, different my apprentice looks. Still, quiet. Soon, part of the ground will he be. Should I be angry? Is my apprentice less pleased, being a different part of the Force? Being trees growing, or the sea dancing and roaring in the wind? If he is pleased, why should I cry? And if I should change, the great Jedi went on. If my back should hunch, if my hair should fall out, if my skin should sag like a sack, or worse, if my elbow turns into a rooster, and my knee a cat, cry should I then? No. I shall wonder at the miraculous changes the Force has wrought. Choose, I do not, what happens to me or to my apprentice. So cry, I do not. Bitter to sing it is. Returned did the messenger to Master Kuang Fu. When related had the messenger what the great Jedi had said, Kuang Fu closed his eyes. Of course, he said, smiling and nodding. Much to learn, have I.
Yoda stopped speaking. In that moment, something comes into your head. A vision. An awful vision. Your eyes fly open. Yoda is staring at you curiously. Han, you cry. Leia! Yoda's face falls. I see them. And you do. They are in pain. They are being tortured. Leia is screaming, her eyes bulging from her head. Han is straining, his back arched, his neck on the verge of snapping.
The future, you see,
Yoda murmurs.
A future.
I've got to help them,
you cry. Yoda shakes his head.
Hear me, you do not.
I've got to go to them. I've got to save them.
Yoda pauses.
Decide you must how to serve them best. If you leave now, help them you could. But likely, you would destroy all that they have worked for. All for which they have fought and suffered. The cause, the rebellion, their battle against the Emperor. All would be lost. But saved, could they be?
You stare at the tiny Jedi Master. Your eyes are wild. The silence dies in the jungle, replaced by a riot of sound. Lesson Pi. Tough choices. When I gave you the multiple choice test a few lessons ago, I said the Jedi don't act hypothetically. I told you that you couldn't choose between sitting with your friend, or helping the new kid, or sitting with the lonely girl. You had to do them all. Which was true. But there are times, rare times, when you cannot do everything. When you have to choose between two bad options. Bad options like, one, letting your friends suffer and perhaps die, and two, saving them, but not being skilled enough to face Vader and not strong enough to resist the dark side, which would result in dooming the galaxy to slavery for the next few hundred years. That's a tough choice. But there are more mundane examples of the same conundrum. For example, you are going on vacation with your best friend. You're going somewhere awesome, like an amusement park or the mountains. It is going to be the best trip of your life and of your best friend's life. But you are also trying to change schools, to go somewhere with better academics and more interesting teachers. And the entrance exam has just been scheduled for during your trip. What do you do? Do you let your friend down and take the exam? Or do you give up on your dream of this new school and go on vacation with your pal? There is no right answer. But the choices you make will shape you. And they may shape history, too. Chapter 19. It is night. The X-Wing's lights glow faintly against the gloom of the swamp. R2-D2 checks the readings on various panels. He is whirring like a silverfinch. He has no love for Dagobah. You are loading your belongings into the cargo hold. Yoda's wrinkled face looks pained.
Luke, please, complete your training, you must.
You shake your head. The vision refuses to leave you. Your best friends, in terrible pain, weeping, screaming.
You must not go,
Yoda insists. The deep shadows of night envelop his small form. They'll die if I don't. Suddenly, another voice answers you. Rich and kind and understanding. Ben's voice.
You don't know that, Luke.
You turn and see him. He is standing beside Yoda. He shimmers.
Ben!
You cry.
Are you... aren't you...
Obi-Wan Kenobi smiles.
I am still a part of the Force. You have, through your training, learned to see me.
You stare, drinking in the sight of your first master, your friend.
Please, Luke. Please, listen to Yoda.
Your shoulders hunch. He doesn't understand. He's just like Yoda.
I can help them. I can feel the Force.
But you cannot control it. More importantly, you cannot control your feelings.
Ben's eyes are anxious. You can see that, even through their otherworldly shimmer. He goes on.
This is a dangerous time for you. You will be tempted by the dark side.
Yes,
Yoda agrees.
Listen to Obi-Wan. Remember your failure at the cave.
But I've learned so much since then.
Ben's voice is rasping and low.
Luke, it is you the Emperor wants. That's why he makes your friend suffer.
You stop. You think about that. The Emperor wants you? A strange mixture of fear and something else is shifting, taking shape in your heart. Yoda and Obi-Wan watch you.
Luke, I don't want to lose you the way I lost Vader.
You look into his old, sad eyes. You feel that something in your heart start to fade, to be replaced by love for the old man who trained you and gave his life for you. You look to Yoda. Yoda, for whom there is no distinction between a mouse and you and a spaceship. Who has devoted his life to training Jedi so that they may help others. Yoda, who had so much patience when you had none.
You won't lose me, you say to them. I promise.
Stopped, they must be,
Yoda says.
On this all depends. If you choose the quick and easy path, as Vader did, you will fall under his control. And an agent of evil you will become.
If you choose to face Vader, Ben says, you must do it alone. I cannot help you.
You nod. I understand. R2, fire up the converters. The little droid whistles happily.
Luke,
Ben says desperately,
don't give in to pride, fear,
hatred.
They lead to the dark side.
You climb onto the wing of your fighter, and then put a leg into the cockpit.
Strong is Vader,
Yoda intones.
Mind what you have learned. Help you it can.
I will.
You slide into the pilot's seat. And I'll return to finish my training. I promise. But already you're thinking of something else. Of Han and Leia. Of the Emperor. Of Vader. You flip a switch. The cockpit hatch begins to close. Outside the ship, Yoda says quietly to Ben,
told you I did. Now, matters are worse.
That boy is our last hope, Ben replies.
As your ship lifts into the sky, Yoda follows it with his gaze.
No,
he says at last.
There is another.
Strange Planets, Part 2, Chapter 20.
The Millennium Falcon screams out of the atmosphere of Hoth, heading straight for a Star Destroyer. This is less like a mouse running at a tiger, and more like a lame rabbit with one bad eye running at a tiger. Leia, crouched over Han Solo's shoulder, mutters, Han! He ignores her.
Chewie, prepare to make the jump to light speed.
C-3PO, who has been trying to get Han's attention since the hangar in the Rebel base, tries again.
But sir!
Two laser blasts erupt from the destroyer and whiz past the Falcon's hull. Four small Imperial fighters, TIEs, detach from a nearby formation and head directly for Solo's ship.
The tiger has buddies. Hardly seems fair. They're coming, Leia murmurs. Han just grins.
Yeah? Watch this.
He throws the lightspeed thruster down and turns to watch the stars go blazing by as the ship jumps into hyperspace. But the stars do not go blazing by. They hang there, limp and static. Watch what? Han throws the thruster again. Nothing. Very quietly, he says,
I think we're in trouble.
If I may say so, I noticed earlier that the hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. It's impossible to go to light speed.
We're in trouble,
Han shouts. Explosions rock the ship as the four TIE fighters close in. Han grabs the steering column, turns the Falcon sharply, and guns it. The TIE fighters are hard on their backs. Behind the fighters, the Imperial Star Destroyer lumbers after them all, cannons blazing. Han jumps from the captain's seat.
Take it!
He shouts at Leia. What? He ignores her and runs to the mechanical port where Chewbacca is already yanking at wires and crying in confusion. Which sounds like... Leia watches the steering column veer left.
Hey!
Han calls. So the princess slides into the seat. She pushes hard left, exaggerating the turn.
Hey!
Han cries as he crashes into Chewbacca, and a cascade of sparks rain down on his scruffy head. The TIE fighters bank and follow Leia's course, their lasers exploding all around the pirate ship. Leia dips. Han's head hits the ceiling.
Hey!
The fighters follow. Leia pulls up. Han is thrown to the ground.
Hey!
Leia smiles. The Falcon rises and rises and rises and then jolts violently.
That wasn't a laser.
Han barks.
We hit something.
He mutters about women pilots and sprints back to the cockpit.
What are you doing, Prince?
He stops mid-sentence. He sees what she sees. Asteroid field, Leia announces grimly. Indeed, stretching out before them as far as anyone can see are a million space rocks. Some large, some small, some the size of tiny moons. A good two-thirds of them are large enough to destroy a spaceship like the Falcon on impact.
Oh boy,
Han mutters. He slides into the pilot's seat, relieving Leia of her duties, which she performed more than admirably, it should be said, for the TIE fighters are now some distance behind and stares at the death trap that stretches out before them. The rocks hang there, deadly and silent. The TIE fighters are closing in. Han pushes forward on the steering column.
Wait, Leia says. You're not going into the asteroid field.
Han grins.
They'd be crazy to follow us.
Chewie, appearing in the doorway of the cockpit, sees his captain's course and howls. Leia puts her head near Han's and whispers furiously,
You don't have to do this to impress me.
Sir,
C-3PO chirrups frantically.
The odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field are approximately 3,720 to 1.
As if to demonstrate the droid's point, the first of the pursuing TIE fighters meets an asteroid head-on. It explodes. Han grits his teeth.
Never tell me the odds!
Asteroids twirl and dance around them like some chaotic cosmic ballet. Someone who appreciates the beauty of the Force might enjoy watching the passing, spinning, whirling space boulders that hurtle past the Falcon. Han, Leia, Chewie, and C-3PO, on the other hand, are trying not to soil their pants. Except that Chewie and C-3PO don't wear pants. Behind them, a second fighter collides with an asteroid, becoming a fiery, ephemeral grave.
Well, Princess,
Han sighs.
You said you wanted to be around when I made a mistake. This could be it.
I take it back,
cries Leia. A small asteroid bounces off their hull with a sickening crunch.
I take it back!
Beneath them, one of the enormous asteroids floats by, silent and inexorable as death.
Han looks down at it.
I'm gonna take us closer to one of the big ones.
Closer?
Closer?
Leia and C-3PO and Chewie all cry at once. Though Chewie's closer, actually...